Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
They're hot. They're really hot. They're burning. It's Denton's five burning questions.
Ooh, that sounds ominous. I'm worried now. How good are these questions?
I mean, I think they're great every single week. I come up with them myself.
I think they're pretty good every single week. All right, go ahead. Fire away.
All right, so you talked a little bit yesterday about Monday Night Football, Bengals, and the Cowboys. Jamar Chase had a great game. So question number one, you can only pick one. Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, who are you taking on your team?
Such a good question. I was having this conversation actually with a friend yesterday. I think Jefferson is I'm just always shocked at how open he is. Like, is there a better route runner in the NFL than Justin Jefferson? Is there a better separator in the NFL than Justin Jefferson? But his body type is different than Chase. Chase is like, when he has the ball in his hands, he's like a running back and a fast running back. I think the answer is Chase. I mean, you know, he's had Burrow, Jefferson had Kirk this year, Darnold. Boy, that is a really tough call. I tell you what isn't tough, Denton. They've separated themselves. These are two of the best, and they're in their prime, entering their prime, and they're future Hall of Fame wide receivers. I think I'll take Chase. I think Chase is better after the catch. I also think that he probably has more consistent hands. I'll go with Chase, but just barely. What about you?
This is super close. You know, obviously, Jamar Chase being able to play with Joe Burrow for that year in college, then not playing in college to get ready for the draft. They said it was COVID. He was to get ready for the draft. And then immediately playing with Joe Burrow. Like, we've seen him in massive games, and he steps up in massive games. But I'm going to take Jefferson because I think once they get a quarterback, you know, that year with Kirk, where they were really good in 2022, he had 1,800 yards, only 8 touchdowns. He doesn't catch a lot of touchdown passes for as good as a wide receiver as he is. He only has 37 for his career. His season high is 10.
He had 3 on Sunday.
He had 3 on Sunday. So before that, he only had 4 on the season. He only has 7 on the year. So he's not a great, he doesn't catch a lot of touchdown passes. But I'm going to go with Justin Jefferson just because I think the body type, and once you get him with a consistent quarterback for his career, if Minnesota can do that, that's much more of an if than a win. I think he is just slightly better because he is a little bit taller. I mean, I think he's like 6'4", or he's only 6'1".
Justin Jefferson's only 6'1"? Who? Yeah, his build is different than Jefferson's. He has... When you watch Chase run after the fact, it's more of a running back. in a super fast one. Jefferson runs more like a receiver after a catch. He's a little bit taller and a little bit more kind of long strider, gangly. Like, Chase is physical too after the catch. I mean, I think if we look at their builds, I mean, Chase has, he's just more power packed, don't you think?
I think he is. I think he has crazy body control. Oh, I think Justin Jefferson does too, but I'm just stunned. I had always been under the assumption that Justin Jefferson was at the very least 6'2", 6'3". He's literally only an inch taller than Jamar Chase.
Yes. All right, what's your next one?
All right, next question. We're approaching the playoffs. Who is the one coach that you would pick to lead your team in the playoffs? You only get one of them. There's a lot of good ones in the NFL. You get one coach. Who you take in the playoffs? Not Sean McDermott, right?
No. I mean, what's funny is there years ago, I wouldn't have said this. Actually, I was going to say Andy Reid. I'll take Sean McVay.
I thought for sure you were going to say Mike Tomlin.
I love Tomlin, but I, you know, there are things that Tomlin does incredibly well, and then there are some areas in which he's never done it well. Sean McVay does everything well. I'll take McVay. I'd feel most confident that my team's not going to make a major gaffe from the sideline in a playoff game with McVay. I'll take McVay. I mean, there's some choices here, right? And we're talking about teams in the play that are heading to the playoffs, right?
Yeah, but if you like a coach, if you really love Doug Peterson and you want Doug Peterson, I'm not going to stop you from taking a piece. I didn't think you would, but if you like,
I'll tell you what, Jim Harbaugh is certainly an option, and I'd take him over his brother, actually.
He's going to be my lean. Like, I'm taking Jim Harbaugh, certainly over John Harbaugh. There's not a lot of coaches that I would take over Jim Harbaugh. Maybe Andy Reid, maybe McVay. End of list.
Yeah, I think that Harbaugh actually would be my number two after McVay. And let me just mention, Matt LaFleur is incredibly underrated. Matt LaFleur is a hell of a head coach. And so is Kevin O'Connell. God, man, there's some good coaches. And we haven't even mentioned Dan Quinn. I think McVay, Harbaugh, I mean, I'm just going to just mention all of the Shanahan tree, Jay Gruden tree guys. Because KOC would be, right now, they really manage the game exceptionally well. He does a great job with that. So does LaFleur.
Well, you could.
I love Todd Bowles. I love Todd Bowles, but he's another one that is not good with the game management stuff at times. Yeah.
But you could.
You know who's
Kyle,
a terrific motivator? Raheem Morris.
Well,
you know, Raheem was a possibility here. They were impressed with Raheem, but I think that they fell in love with Quinn pretty quickly. I think if they had interviewed Raheem and not interviewed Quinn, if Quinn wasn't available in this cycle, I think Raheem might be the head coach right now if Quinn hadn't been in this cycle available.
I do wonder if a year from now we're saying the same thing about Mike McDonald. Because I do think Seattle is playing really well right now. You know, I think you got to see a lot of these guys in big games, which, like, O'Connell, we just haven't really seen in massive games yet. I think once we see him, to see if he can, you know, not make the mistakes that a lot of the guys, like McDermott's going to make mistakes. Dan Campbell is aggressive as all hell, but eventually that's going to bite him in the rear end.
Tomlin will make some mistakes. John Harbaugh will make some mistakes.
I dare somebody to.
Kyle will make some mistakes. You know?
Yeah, I thought Kyle was going to be in your list, but you are right. He's going to make mistakes.
I think Sean, to me, is the most, certainly from offense and then the management of the game, as good as it gets. But I'm with you on Jim Harbaugh. I mean, he knows what he's doing, no doubt. They just don't have, right now, enough weapons offensively.
Would you say that Dan Quinn would be in your... We'll say top seven in that conversation.
Yeah, Dan Quinn's a good coach. Mm-hmm. We have a good coach here. There have been some things this year that were a little, you know, sketchy, but not overwhelmingly.
Yeah, I don't think there's been any overwhelmingly massive mistakes.
I mean, Rivera just had no clue on that stuff half the time.
Well, Rivera was flip-flopped.
Yeah.
He'd go against his own advice that he gave to the media based on the analytics, like 2 weeks after he'd given that advice. It's almost like he forgot his own advice.
Yeah, look, I think there have been a couple of mistakes. I think the biggest was not having a kicker capable of kicking it away from Kevontae Turpin. Did you see the other night when Cincinnati kicked the ball off in that spot? The ball was 30 yards out of the end zone.
Yeah.
They weren't going to put it anywhere near him. The punt that got blocked was, you could tell he was setting up to angle it away from Turpin. You know, that was a mistake. And I know that they weren't capable on that day, clearly, with what's-his-face, with Seibert, of kicking it in, you know, into touchback territory. But that kind of cost him a game. So
that it definitely did. Staying on the lines of coaching, question number three. If Baltimore does not get to the AFC Championship, is John Harbaugh out?
Are people saying that?
It feels like there's been rumors on the potential of John Harbaugh being out for years.
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think at this point, look, they're going to have to play road games to get to the AFC Championship. They'd have to win two road games. They're two games back of the Steelers. They could still catch Pittsburgh. I'm not saying that they won't. You know, Pittsburgh has already, you know, in the head-to-head, the one win. They've got another game with the Ravens coming up. But Pittsburgh's got to play the Eagles, the Chiefs, and the Bengals to finish up the season. So, man, if they win the division, they will have earned it, where Baltimore has the Steelers, but they've also got the Browns and the Giants on the schedule. I don't think so. I think John Harbaugh is part of – I think Baltimore is like Pittsburgh. You know, they're loyal. They're consistent. There is consistency year to year. John Harbaugh is a top 10 to top 12 coach in this league. It's going to be hard to do a lot better than him. Yeah.
It's just, if they lose the same way that they've lost, where they abandon the run game, I mean, how many OCs are you going to fire before you just get rid of everybody and clean house?
I'd be surprised if John Harbaugh's not the coach, unless he decides that he's done.
That could be a factor into this as well.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, question number four. It's our favorite time of the year where all of the wide receivers get mad at everybody. Who is more likely to be playing on another team next year, Deebo Samuel or A.J. Brown?
Deebo Samuel, because they may not be able to afford to keep him, right?
Well, he's still
he's
under
a free
contract.
Agent.
Is he a free agent? I thought he was still under contract. I thought they had.
I thought Deebo is a pending free agent. You might be right.
Because it was weird because this offseason he was like, I want more money. And we're like, I thought they like just re-upped him like a year ago.
No, because they have all these people to pay. Deebo's contract.
He has a final year in 2025.
Yeah, so but the potential out is at the end of this year in terms of the least amount of cap. Yeah, I mean, you have to pay him in this upcoming offseason if you want to keep him. If not, he's headed towards unrestricted as a 29-year-old in 2026. I would say Deebo.
There's no way he resets the market, right?
Who Deebo?
Right,
no.
Yeah.
No. Like, he's not at that level.
Do you think he even touches 30 million?
Jamar Chase is going to reset the market.
Yeah, Chase is going to get 40. But do you think Deebo even gets close to 30 if he hits the open market?
What did Ayuk get again?
Ayuk got, I think he got 24, 25.
Yeah, it's going to be in that general area, maybe a little bit higher.
And Deebo's
AJ
contract,
Brown, by the way, is under contract for the next 5 years in
correct.
Philly.
Yeah.
They had the 3-year extension, you know. Am I right? Yeah. I mean, it looks like definitely the next 2 years before there's kind of an easy out.
You know, Howie Roseman loves trading guys, though, being on the right side. I feel like you want to be
on the
right
side. I'll tell you what, Philadelphia would make a big mistake if they traded A.J. Brown. He is a physical freak. He's an elite receiver. And given just how, I think, average their passing scheme is, it's all about, you know, giving A.J. Brown 50-50 balls. A lot of it is. They'd be nuts to get rid of A.J. Brown.
They would, but this is the third year he's done this.
You know what? It's they apparently made up. Whatever. I mean, if they get bounced early in the postseason, or if they, you know, fall apart down the stretch like they did last year, it's a different conversation. Right now, you could argue they're the best team in football. I wouldn't necessarily, but they're certainly top two or three.
All right, final question. Did Josh Allen's 6-touchdown performance seal the deal on his MVP case, or is there something Saquon can do to catch him?
Well, I still believe that if Saquon Barkley takes down Eric Dickerson's 40-year-old record, that it would be hard not to give him the MVP. But at this point, it would be really hard to imagine anybody but Josh Allen winning it. You know, if the Bengals, let me ask you, if the Bengals were 7-7 or 8, if they were 7-6 or 8-5 instead of 5-8, would Joe Burrow be the favorite right now to win it?
Yes. Well, he'd be up there. I think he would be closer to Josh Allen than Saquon is right now. Right now, if I'm looking at FanDuel, Allen is -450, Saquon is +550. If the Bengals had a winning record, or at least in the conversation for the playoffs legitimately, I think Allen would still be probably -250, and then Joe Burrow might be like +120.
Does Lamar have any chance of finishing the last four games at the level that he was playing earlier with the Ravens winning four straight, winning the division? Is he back into it or not?
I think,
you know, we still have four games left.
That's why I think Saquon still has a chance, because right now he has 1,623 yards. With four games left, you could very easily catch. It's a little over 100 yards per game, and you're catching Dickerson. It'd be 17 games instead of 16, which I know is going to make some people upset. But that's very easily achievable. And then potentially, he only has 11 rushing touchdowns on the year with two receiving, which is a lot shorter of a number than I thought. But if you get into that neighborhood of 15, 16 rushing touchdowns and, you know, 2,100 yards, that's a hard case to beat.
Eric Dickerson, when he broke O.J. Simpson's record in 1984, was not the MVP because Dan Marino had a year that was otherworldly for the time. It would be otherworldly for today as well. I mean, it was 5,000-plus yards and 48 touchdown passes. It's possible that Barkley wouldn't win the MVP, but man, that's a 40-year-old record. I know it's 17 games versus 16, but when Dickerson broke the record, it was 16 versus O.J. Simpson's 14 games. Man, I have a hard time believing that Barkley catches Dickerson and passes him, that it won't be a significant moment in this sport. I mean, it'll be, you know, stop the game kind of stuff.
Definitely.
And that he wouldn't rise above that, but You just laid out that Josh Allen right now is a pretty hefty favorite, and it has been a quarterback award. And if he continues to play and put up he's got a big opportunity this weekend in Detroit. This could be a preview of the Super Bowl, Buffalo at Detroit. If he goes in, you know, to Ford Field and throws for three and runs for one in a 34-27 win, and he's the star of the game, I mean, it's going to be, you're going to be hard pressed at that point with some of the games that he's had against the Chiefs and the Lions in particular, pointing to those two games. You know, those would be memorable games and moments, the win over KC and then a win over Detroit on the road. So this is a big game for Josh Allen.
Huge.
You know, and at the same time, what if Barkley on Sunday, you know, goes for $175 and three touchdowns and a win over Pittsburgh? I mean, God, man, Sunday, how did these two games not, how didn't they figure out an answer for these two games?
Couldn't tell. By the way, Barkley's final three games are all divisional games against teams that defensively, not exactly what you would call stout.
I know. Giants, Skins, and Eagles. I'd say right now, I don't know, because I think Barkley's got a shot, but
I'll say he ends up
falling short because the Eagles get into a spot where they can rest him maybe, and I'll say Josh Allen wins the MVP.
If I'm going to put money on this, I would take the Barkley odds at +550, knowing Steelers on the road here, home against the Cowboys, home against the Giants. and you got to have, you know, 500 yards. That, given the quality of opponent, especially because at the end of the year, the Cowboys and Giants won't be playing for anything. I guess the question is going to be, is Philadelphia going to be playing for something in that final game, or do they rest him? If they play him in that one, it feels like that Eric Dickerson record is very much in reach.
I've got a burning question for you when we come back, a burning NFL question. I'll also tell you the movie that I went and saw last night and whether or not I liked it. We'll get to some NFL buy and sell before the end of the show as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, The Team 980 and TheTeam980.com. So my burning NFL question for you, Denton Day, is, does Brock Bowers have a chance to finish second to Jaden Daniels in the Offensive Rookie of the Year award? Because Jaden's more likely than not going to win it, but everybody has focused in on Bo Nix as his most significant challenger. Are you following the season that Brock Bowers is having?
He is sensational, and we knew he would be sensational, but he has lived up to it. The problem is his team sucks.
Right.
And I don't think people are spending a copious amount of time watching the Las Vegas Raiders. So in spite of how great of a season he's had, I think it's going to be very difficult for him to jump Bo Nix, who has his team in the thick of the playoff race at the moment. But he has nearly 1,000 yards as a tight end.
Brock Bowers has 87 receptions for 933 yards, 4 touchdowns. He's already set the rookie record for receptions in a season with 4 games left. Let me just repeat that. He has already set the rookie record for a tight end receptions in a season with 4 games left. He set that record last week with his 87th catch of the season, passing, believe it or not, Sam Laporta's record from last year. I would not have guessed that, by the way. Now he is chasing down a record that has stood for 6 decades. Mike Ditka's 1,076 receiving yards for a tight end in 1961 is the all-time mark for a rookie. He's going to, more likely than not, smash that record as well. He's going to end up with more than 100 catches. He's going to end up probably with 1,100-plus yards minimum on the season. I was reading something maybe like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I don't think I mentioned it on the show, that there are people in the league that believe that he may be the best tight end in the league right now. Right now.
I would say yes. I mean, Travis Kelce all time might be the best, but he hasn't had a spectacular season. He does have, by the way, Travis Kelce, the leading single season receiving yard mark for a tight end, but based off of some of the games that Bowers has played.
How many, what was that, like 1,400 yards, something like that?
It was 1,416. The second is George Kittle in 2018, who had 1,377. So both of those numbers are in reach for Bowers. He would just need another performance like he had against Kansas City of 140 yards in a game. He's only gone over 100 yards twice this year.
You know who holds the record for the most receptions in a season for a tight end?
I do not.
He's Washington's starting tight end. Zach Ertz, 116 catches in 2018, is an NFL record for receptions in a season for a tight end. I did not know that until I just looked it up.
That was their Super Bowl year, right?
2017 was.
Okay.
Right? 2016 was Carson Wentz's rookie year.
No, so it was 2018 then, because that's when Carson Wentz was having an MVP season.
No, 2017 was when he was having an MVP season, when he got hurt in L.A. Pretty sure. And Nick Foles came in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he played 13 games in 2017.
Yeah, that was it. That's when he was the MVP at that point in the season. Who won the MVP that year?
Brady, I think.
Okay. Hours. I mean, some people believe right now. I mean, look, Kelce, end of his career, getting close to it. Kittle, injuries, missed games. I'll tell you, the guy who is underrated, but I think people are starting to realize how good he is the guy in Arizona who we did not have to face, Trey McBride. He is a star tight end. Who else are we forgetting here?
I mean, Mark Andrews was good for a little bit, but...
Right.
Yeah, I don't know that he's...
Not Freiermuth.
No, not Freiermuth. There's not a lot Goddard. Of tight ends.
You know who's really good, except he's never healthy either, is Njoku. Njoku in Cleveland. He's an excellent tight end.
Jonnu Smith's having a solid year, but I wouldn't call him.
He had a great overtime the other day.
He did. Yeah, there's not a lot of great tight ends.
I'm just sitting here wondering, when I read this a few weeks ago, I'm like, oh, that sounds like hyperbole. But Brock Bowers might be the best tight end in football right now as a rookie.
Yeah, I would feel comfortable saying that he is. Now, we know that Travis Kelce is going to flip it up a notch in the postseason. He always does. He did it last year. But I would take Bowers right now. They just stink. Las Vegas is
Bowers is really good. Yeah, they're pretty bad. Although they've played more competitively here recently. I mean, they obviously had a chance against the Raiders on Black Friday, legit chance. And they had the ball driving in the fourth quarter, down 14-10 against the Buccaneers on Sunday. Although Aiden O'Connell got hurt. I don't know if he's going to be playing. The guy that came in and replaced him was Desmond Ridder. He came in because Minshew isn't available right now. Ridder was, he was with the Falcons. And they play the Falcons on Monday night. So I wanted to mention real quickly, and we'll finish up the show with more NFL talks and buy and sell. But I went and saw Gladiator 2 last night. So you didn't see Gladiator. I mean, do yourself a favor, Siri. I know you got a long list. Denton hasn't seen Goodfellas or The Godfather. I don't have a problem with you not having seen The Godfather at your age. It's astounding that you haven't seen Goodfellas.
Put it on the list.
Gladiator 2. Gladiator 1, the fact that you haven't seen it. So I did hear from a lot of you when I mentioned that I might go see this movie in the theater. First of all, it's just nice to see movies in theaters. I don't do it that much anymore, but it was kind of an empty theater, too. I went with my one of my boys because he wanted to see the movie, too. And it's really good. It is well done. It is quite the extravaganza. I mean, I don't know what this movie costs to make, but Paul Mescal is really good. Pedro Pascal's excellent. Connie Nielsen's back. From Gladiator 1, 20 years later or whatever it's been, 23 years later. And Denzel's phenomenal. It's not Denzel's best role by a long shot, nowhere near it. But Denzel's really good, and I really enjoyed this sequel. I think in terms of sequels, it's up there. It's not as good as the first. Ridley Scott, I read, didn't write it. He directed it again, but didn't really write it. But excellent, excellent movie. And Paul Mescal's really blowing up as a star right now because he was in some movie recently that I watched. It's called After Sun. It's about a father and a daughter. It was on something recently that I watched that he was really good in. He hasn't done a lot. He's excellent in this movie. If for Gladiator fans, if you haven't seen Gladiator 2, I definitely recommend it. Like it's 2 hours and 28 minutes. It never at any point felt like it was dragging at any point. It was really, really well done. Go see Gladiator 1. Just watch Goodfellas. I don't know anybody that is it true to you? You've never seen Pulp Fiction, right?
No, I told you I've seen Pulp Fiction.
Oh, right. You've seen Pulp Fiction.
Goodfellas. Along with many other movies. But that is a big one, yes.
Okay. Well, I didn't watch The Simpsons on Nickelodeon the other night for the Monday night game. So I guess I'm missing something, too.
You are not.
We'll do some NFL buy and sell to finish up the show next.
We'll start with a little bit of breaking news. Some good, some bad. We'll start with the bad, get that out of the way, give you the good. Dan Quinn speaking to the media now. He says that Noah Brown is going to miss several weeks with an internal injury. And considering there's only 4 weeks left in the season, odds are it's not looking great that he's going to be back this year for the Commanders unless they make a deeper run in the postseason. The good news is that Marshon Lattimore is going to be a full participant in practice today, which means signs are pointing to him being on the field on Sunday against his former team, the New Orleans Saints. Elsewhere locally, the Nationals won the MLB lottery, and they will pick number one overall in the 2025 MLB draft. It's likely, not confirmed, but likely that they're going to be selecting Ethan Holliday. He's the top most MLB draft board. He's the younger brother of Jackson Holliday, son of Matt Holliday. He plays infielder at Stillwater High School in Oklahoma. Joe Burrow's house was burglarized during a Monday Night Football game against Dallas. It was reported by a swimsuit model, Olivia Pontoon, who was house-sitting for Burrow while the Bengals beat the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football. Alex Ovechkin was skating today at practice for the Capitals. He was in a non-contact jersey. He wasn't participating in any other drills at practice, but him being back on the ice and skating around is certainly positive for a return coming soon for the Grade 8. And that's what's trending.
All right, before we get to NFL buy or sell, you heard Denton's update there on Noah Brown. That's a bit of a surprise. He's obviously injured. I don't think that anybody saw, maybe some of the guys on the beat did, that it was going to be a long, miss injury, several weeks, possibly the season. He's out with an internal injury. So I guess we kind of count him out now for the stretch run here, maybe back for a playoff berth, who knows. But you look at what Washington, has in terms of other options other than Terry. We've seen, and Ben wrote extensively about this in The Athletic. We saw against Tennessee more 12 personnel than we've seen in any game this year. That could have been partly due to the opponent. And they thought that they could, perhaps run the football effectively, especially with the quarterback involved in the run game. But we even saw some 13 personnel on the field, one back, three tight ends. We saw Sinnott out there with Ertz and with Bates as well. Is that how they get around the no Noah Brown situation? Or do we see a lot more of Diami, which we've already begun to see a lot more of Diami? And by the way, seeing a lot more of Diami has been pleasant to watch. Him with his hands, with the ball in his hands, he's a dynamic threat with that speed, with that starts, that stop start speed as well. Are we going to now see Luke McCaffrey really become? He's had plenty of snaps. We've talked about his snap counts. Snap counts haven't been the issue. Will he be looked to more? Look, I think the biggest thing in losing Noah Brown down the stretch here is that he's really been a go-to for Jaden. We've seen him work 85 a lot. Noah Brown, it's earlier in the year, seemed to be the guy that was getting separation more often than anybody else, maybe not named McCaffrey when McCaffrey was on the field. And there's been kind of this, look to 85 and look to 86 when in doubt, Ertz and Brown. Of course, he should always be looking in Terry's direction, of course. But I think Noah Brown will be missed a little bit here. It's two players now down the stretch that they're not going to have that have been significant, more so Eckler than Noah Brown. I think Eckler is going to be missed. And I love what Rodriguez has done. I love what McNichols has done. Hopefully Brian Robinson Jr. stays healthy as well. But Noah Brown, third on the team in receptions. Third on the team in pass reception yardage. He's got, 21 catches on the season for first downs. That's third only behind Terry and Ertz. He's been a real go-to guy for Jaden in a lot of spots. So, two key offensive guys that they're not going to have down the stretch in Eckler and Noah Brown. We'll see. Look, the most important people to have on the field down the stretch are the quarterback, your number one wide receiver, and then I think, to a certain extent, Brian Robinson Jr. as well, and to have health up front. But they're going to miss him a little bit. Noah Brown was a nice little acquisition, a pickup when he got released by Houston, you know, towards the end of training camp. He's played well, had a couple of, you know, the game he had against Baltimore in particular was a big time game. Had obviously had the most memorable catch of the season against Chicago. Had that incredible throw and catch from Jaden in the Giant game on the road. You know, just 2 games ago, he was targeted 10 times in the Dallas game. Six catches in the game for 71 yards. So you're going to be missing some snap and some catch and yardage production. All right. You have anything, thoughts on this?
Certainly a bummer. I mean, Dan Quinn said they have a deep crew at the position. I hope so. I don't know. I don't know if depth is their strong suit at wide receiver. I'm more enthused with the positive news that Marshawn Lattimore is a full participant today. So we're going to get our first look at him. Obviously, losing Noah Brown stinks, but I'm excited to see what Lattimore is going to look like this weekend, assuming that because he's participating fully in practice today, that will continue the rest of the week and he'll be good to go this weekend.
Yeah, you and I have both been talking about at some point. Lattimore, I think, was expected. The Noah Brown thing caught me off guard. I was not expecting that kind of news. I wasn't sure about this upcoming week, but I certainly wasn't expecting season ending, you know, possibly. What is specifically the internal injury?
All they said was internal injury. Remember, he did leave that game against Tennessee with what we thought was the wind getting knocked out of him. And then I don't know if it was ever described explicitly as a rib injury, but that was kind of the assumption just based on where he got hit, where he was holding. And then he kind of went silent because of the bye week. I guess nobody was really asking around about Noah Brown during the bye week because the assumption was, hey, he's off. He'll get healthy. He'll be back. So, I mean, this is definitely surprising that he was going to be out for many weeks, I believe is the direct term that Dan Quinn said.
Here's the quote from Quinn. I'm reading it right now. On Noah Brown's injury. During the game between him, this was the Tennessee game, between him and the medical staff, they did a really good job to address what was a serious injury. Fortunately, he's going to be okay, but it's going to knock him out for a bit. Quinn added that it's not totally certain that Brown will be done for the season, but it's likely heading that way. This sounds like, you know, an injury to an organ of some sort internally that could have been serious in the moment. Glad he's okay.
They need to get everybody wearing flak jackets on this team. Everybody.
I think a lot of those people wear whatever the equivalent to is a flak jacket is these days. All right, let's finish up with some NFL buy and sell. All right, the first thing I am buying is a game I feel really strongly about this coming weekend. I think Philadelphia is going to really unload on Pittsburgh this week. They did it to Baltimore on the road. Pittsburgh comes to the link. The Steelers off an impressive win over Cleveland. Philadelphia off an unimpressive win with some yapping going on about their pass attack against Carolina. I think this is a real opportunity for Philadelphia defensively to really unload on Pittsburgh. They did a great job, obviously, against Baltimore. I think this is a rough day for Russell Wilson, the Steelers, and I envision something like 24-10, 24-7, something like that, with Philadelphia's defense on full display Sunday at the link against the Steelers. I really like Philadelphia laying the 5. Sunday at home. I would imagine the early indication I had is there was a lot of Pittsburgh action. Recent impressions, man, right? Recent impressions, Pittsburgh good, Philadelphia, what's going on there? They almost lost to Carolina. They come back and lay the wood big time to Pittsburgh Sunday. The other thing, too, would be nice if that game got out of hand one way or the other early so we could just focus on what I think is going to be a great game, which is Buffalo Detroit. First thing I'm buying, the Eagles this Sunday to smash Pittsburgh. What do you got?
So I got 3 things to buy today. The first thing, this is not meant to be as tongue-in-cheek as a prize going to come off as. I'm buying Lou McCaffrey this weekend. If they're going to go deep into the receiving room, Luke McCaffrey's a guy that we've all been wanting to see utilized a lot more on offense, and your boy has been betting a Luke McCaffrey anytime touchdown since September. I'd really prefer it hit ahead of Christmas. That will be the team's Christmas gift to me. Get Luke McCaffrey in the end zone. The odds aren't out on his anytime touchdown, but it's probably going to be like 8-1. I could very much use that. So I think Luke McCaffrey has his first like legit Luke McCaffrey game in the NFL.
I mean, we've both been expecting that, you know, 7-catch, 98 yards, touchdown kind of a game. Just something like that. That's not over the top. But he certainly is available enough to be thrown to, we think. All right, the next thing I'm going to buy, and let me just preface this by saying that I bought over a month ago now the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when they were in a 3-game hole. You know, two back and having been swept by the Falcons, and I said, Atlanta's defense stinks. Their schedule gets harder. Tampa's going to get healthier, and Tampa's going to be back into the division race, and they may win it. Now I'm going to flip it. I think Atlanta gets hot here down the end because they just played three of the most brutal defensive teams in the league in succession. Denver, the Chargers, and the Vikings. We know what Kirk's troubles throwing picks have been, but he also just threw for 344 against Minnesota's defense and had a decent game overall. They didn't lose that game because of him Sunday. They probably lost the Chargers game the week before because of him. They play the Raiders on Monday night and then the Giants. So I'm buying the Falcons to get back into this thing and then to come to Washington the weekend of the 28th, 29th. A huge game, probably for both teams, more so for them maybe, but I'm not counting them out of the division. Tampa, by the way, has I give them all the credit in the world, but they were lucky to beat the Panthers and they were, you know, up 4 points with the Raiders driving in the fourth quarter Sunday. They got to go play the Chargers on the road and then the Cowboys on the road. Of course, we don't know where Dallas will be, but that's my second purchase. Purchased the Buccaneers a month and a half ago to get back into this thing and to have a chance. And now I'm buying Atlanta as not out of this thing and having a chance. What else are you buying?
You're such a businessman. I am buying.
Well, I mean, I buy low. I buy low, sell
buy
high.
Buy low, sell high. That's how you do it. I am also buying the Falcons, kind of. Not in the way that you are. I don't think they're going to get hot. I'm buying Michael Penix, that we're going to see him at some point this year. I don't think that's distinctly a knock on Kirk, but I do think once they are out of contention for the postseason, it doesn't make a lot of sense to play Kirk.
Sure.
You got to at least see what Michael Penix is about, what he can do at the NFL level. I think we might see Michael Penix here when they come to town. So I'm going to buy some Michael Penix stock.
By the way, I love Penix, as you know. He was my third favorite quarterback behind Caleb and Jaden in the draft. I liked him a lot more than May and McCarthy and Nix. I think he's going to be a good pro quarterback at some point. It will be in Atlanta for sure. All right, I am selling, and I know we talked about this kind of ad nauseum the other day, but I'm going to sell the Cincinnati Bengals from actually playing for a playoff spot in the final week of the season. I think that they have a chance, you know, to win a couple of games here against the Titans and Browns and then have a big game against the Broncos. I'd like to see that because I'd love to see Cincinnati make a run. But just in thinking about Denver, they're good right now. It's a good football team. I don't think they're going to stumble their way out of this thing, and that's what would need to happen. They have the Colts Sunday, and the Colts are still in it. Like, this is a huge game. If the Colts can beat the Broncos Sunday, they're only a game back, and they would own the tiebreaker over Denver. But I expect Denver wins that game, and that they'll probably beat the Chiefs in the final game of the year because the Chiefs will have nothing to play for, and that would get them to 10 wins, and that's all they would need to get into the postseason. I think you and I both would love to see Cincinnati make a run, but I don't see it. What are you selling?
I'm not selling anything today. I have one more thing to buy. I'm buying the Chargers getting to the AFC Championship. I love the way they played against Kansas City, but I did not think they played like themselves in the first half. I thought when you saw that comeback in the second half, that was the Jim Harbaugh identity that we have seen from them this year. For whatever reason, they kind of stepped outside of that in the first half. I think once they get to the postseason, they are going to find themselves in a very Aaron Rodgers-esque way, but more successful and they're going to give some teams some tough, tough performances. I like Justin Herbert, but I really love what Jim Harbaugh can bring, and he is not going to make mistakes that I think some of the other coaches will. So when you have that coaching advantage and a lot of talent, I like the Chargers to get to the AFC Championship.
I think one of the keys for them, like the 5 seed is going to play Houston in the first round on the road. If it's Baltimore, the Chargers, you know, they win that game. They're probably favored in that game.
Definitely.
All right, we are done for the day. Back tomorrow. Chris is up next.